Welcome back to this week's edition of Icing the Ticker, presented by WSU Sports. I'm your host for this week, Jonathan Haidt, and joining me today is the great Ryan Henry and Matt Sotobier. Guys, real quick, before we dive all things fantasy football, how are you both doing?
Doing well.
I'm doing great, John Haidt.
Oh, I'm doing great, John Haidt. August, just started the month, August, the dog days. NFL season's around the corner. Coming up to school soon, which not always a positive thought, but, you know, summer is slowly finishing up, and we're almost back to NFL season. So, yeah, it's been a good solid day so far.
I'm excited for football, honestly. Can't get to September soon enough.
And that is true, and the best way to immediately get back into the NFL mood is training camp, which started this past week. Where all 32 teams are back at it, and a lot of things have been going down in a whole bunch of teams, different training camps. I mean, you have some highly touted rookies finally stepping onto their professional field for the first time, some veterans trying to make a name for themselves once again. So, guys, my first question to you is, who's one player or players, whoever you had on your radar recently, that stood out to you during training camp in terms of, obviously, fantasy football purposes that could be definitely useful for when people are drafting their teams this year? And just people that you're going to be looking out for the rest of the summer. So, Ryan, we'll start with you.
I had a couple of question marks going into camp of how well Jalen Hurts was going to perform. Obviously, with the addition of A.J. Brown, it was going to help him. But so far, he's been pretty solid in training camp. Hasn't really gotten a whole lot of turnovers. He's scored a few touchdowns in the drills. Obviously, training camp isn't everything. It doesn't replicate the full game. But for someone who has a lot of pressure on them because of how talented the rest of the Eagles squad is around them, and he's probably the biggest question mark, I think he's done pretty adequately. Now, obviously, we'll see how he translates onto the field, but I think so far his training camp has been impressive by most standards, and I'm excited to see what he can do going into this next season.
All right, I'm going to go with an easy one. I'm going with Josh Allen. And there was a fight in the Bills training camp, which is basically the biggest headline, but it's no big deal. If you've ever played any sports, you know that's just what happens. There's no hard feelings in the locker room or anything like that. He squared that away. And I'm really excited to see how he's going to perform this year. And coming off the season where they nearly beat the Chiefs and almost made it all the way, I really think they're going to be favorites to make it out of the AFC. I've got them advancing the Super Bowl, especially picking up Von Miller. That's only going to make their defense better, obviously. He's coming off a Super Bowl win himself. And Josh Allen's 42 touchdowns last year, it's hard to beat that. And his run game, he's got the run-pass option going over there in Buffalo. 763 yards, those yards add up in fantasy.
For sure. And I'll start with the Bills. I mean, this is such a huge year for them. They've been so close to finally reaching that mountaintop of a Super Bowl, but you're obviously going up against some really, really tough teams in the AFC with a lot of young quarterbacks. Obviously, it's always been Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs. You're going to have Justin Herbert with the Chargers, obviously. The next couple of years, Joe Burrow from last year with the Bengals. So there's got to be a year where everything has got to come together. I think the addition of Von Miller is going to also help that defense in their pass rush and just overall just solidify this Buffalo core. You know, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, so many, you know, young and talented weapons that they have. And what, Ryan, you mentioned about the Eagles, this is another big year, I feel like, for the Eagles as well. I mean, that division isn't the strongest division in the NFL. I think we can all agree upon that. It's, you know, you've obviously heard the NFC least, I'm sure, for many years. I'm sure, Ryan, you've heard as an Eagles fan, you're tired of it. But I think them and the Cowboys are the two teams to watch for this year. I still think that the Commanders and Giants will definitely finish third and fourth, whatever order they end up being in. And then you'll have the Cowboys and Eagles, I think, vying for that top spot. And I think a lot of that is going to go to the play of Jalen Hurts, I think, throughout this season. And for me, I've been just, you know, a little bit of everything for each team. I'll start with my Steelers. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what a post-Ben Roethlisberger, you know, Steelers team is going to look like. I know Mitch Trubisky is definitely going to be the starter come week one. They already have their high-profile draftee, and Kenny Pickett is most likely going to be the third-string quarterback just because Mason Rudolph, for some reason, had a good camp, even though he's not that great of a quarterback. And again, that's the way camp is sometimes. Some players that could be terrible on the NFL field, you know, night in, night out, might be just electric on the training camp field. And that's the way it is. But for some other ones, I've been looking at the Packers a lot as well. Just seeing what Aaron Rodgers is going to do, obviously coming back, you know, once again, the loss of Devontae Adams, who's now going to be in the AFC. How will Aaron Rodgers be able to adapt without, you know, his favorite weapon, which I feel like it's been like that for the last couple of years. So there's storylines galore, which then leads me now into my next question for our fantasy football section, obviously. Your top five quarterback rankings for this year's, you know, upcoming season, just because I feel like there's a lot of turnover each year. You kind of have to differentiate how you're going to pose an older veteran quarterback to, you know, one of these young guys that are taking the league by storm. So, Matt, we'll start with you. Give me your top five quarterbacks in order.
All right. So I definitely think when it comes to quarterbacks in fantasy, it's a lot different than just quarterbacks in general. If it were in general, I would have Tom Brady at number one. He's the GOAT. That's pretty obvious. But he's not even on the list here. And at number five, I've got Lamar Jackson, who had a pretty bad year for his standard last year, being a former MVP. He did already have 2 1,000 rushing yard seasons, though, and rushing yards are very valuable in fantasy. I could see him making an impact. Number four, I've got Aaron Rodgers. And again, I question his ability to win the playoffs, but he's definitely a great regular season quarterback. You know, the four MVPs all back that up. And I just think it's going to be a good season, even though he lost Devontae Adams, and that's a huge loss. I still think he'll be able to put up stats with that weak division. Number three, Justin Herbert. If you were to start a team from scratch and pick a quarterback going into the future, I think the guy you got to take is Justin Herbert. He's young, he's talented, he's got a cannon arm, and the weapons around him are very valuable. Austin Eckler, super underrated. Same thing with Keenan Allen. Mike Williams is a good piece. I think they've got all the pieces in place to have a good season this year. Number two, Patrick Mahomes, most talented quarterback in the NFL. He does things on the weekly that we've never seen before. Very few weaknesses, insane arm strength. Can also run the ball, which, again, these rushing yards are very valuable. Same thing with Herbert. And number one, I already talked about him earlier, so I'm not going to go much into detail, but Josh Allen, it can't really beat that.
Yeah, I think we have very similar lists. Our top threes are very similar, or the same. Allen, Mahomes, Herbert. I'll say, I wouldn't be shocked if either one of those guys finishes 1, 2, or 3. I think they're very interchangeable when it comes to their value in fantasy. But for number four, I actually have Lamar Jackson slotted up. Like, I think he's due for a bounce back season. A lot of people are down on the Baltimore Ravens for some reason, even though they were injured the entire year, essentially. They're going to get their key offensive running backs back. J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards. They're going to get them back at some point. I think Gus Edwards is on the pup list still, but I assume they're going to be coming back early. You got Rashad Bateman from the draft, last year's draft, who I think was one of the best receivers coming out. Really didn't get a chance to show himself because he got injured in the preseason. And then you still have Mark Andrews, one of the best tight ends in all football. And they're going to be a very solid rushing team. And then the passing is going to be adequate enough. I think Lamar Jackson can finish top five. And then for the fifth spot, I actually have Jalen Hurts. I think he was one of the best fantasy quarterbacks last season. I think he finished as QB5, I believe. He finished as QB5, one of the best fantasy QBs. The offense is going to be better this year because now alongside Devontae Smith, they have A.J. Brown, one of the best receivers in all of football. Dallas Goedert's going to have another year to work with Jalen Hurts. I really like the rushing attack of Kenny Gainwell, Miles Sanders. Then Jalen Hurts is obviously a threat on the legs himself. And I think this Eagles offense is going to be potent. And I think Jalen Hurts is going to be making a lot of plays. And I think he's going to round out the list because rushing as a quarterback is king in fantasy.
That is very true. I mean, for quarterbacks, we've seen a lot of the most high-profile guys, you know, for the last 5, 6 years have been the ones that can not only throw the ball but just tack on as many rushing yards as possible for those extra points. My list is basically the same as both of your guys. I just have one difference. I agree Josh Allen will be number one. I think Mahomes and Herbert, again, those three could be interchangeable, but I think Josh Allen will finish first this season because I think the Bills, I think, are due for a Super Bowl run this year. For number four and five for me, even though I'm not a huge fan of him, I still think Lamar Jackson will probably be a top five fantasy quarterback this year, just because of, like we mentioned, having the rushing yards. And like you mentioned, Ryan, I think he's due to have a really good year. And my other selection for my top five, which is along those same lines, is I think Kyler Murray is going to be a top five fantasy quarterback this year. I think, you know, with all the offseason noise, he finally has the contract. You're going to have DeAndre Hopkins back. I know their offense is, you know, young. He has a ton of weapons, and just on the ground, Kyler Murray is one of the most dynamic rushers in the entire NFL. So I think he'll steal that number five spot, if not number four, depending where him and Lamar Jackson do this year. Which now, again, that leads me to my next question. We've discussed quarterbacks. We've discussed camp. And now my favorite part of fantasy football, you know, who are some of your guys' sleepers heading into this season? Every year it's different. A lot of them age horribly, which you look back at this episode in a year. I mean, I'm sure some of ours are going to be absolutely awful, but that's the fun of it. I mean, who are your sleepers for next season? Also, the guys that you're going to consider, you know, quote-unquote busts, who are people that – you think just draft owners and people around the league are overvaluing and that you think could be due for a negative regression this season overall? Ryan, we'll start with you.
So I'll give you – so my sleeper and my bust pick are kind of intertwined, and I'll also give another sleeper. But for the two that are intertwined, I think Travis Algier from the Atlanta Falcons is going to be heavily slept on and be one of the best rookie-producing running backs this season. And then Cordell Patterson I think is going to – fan out. Cordell Patterson is reaching 30 years old. He is dynamic in the backfield, but, you know, he was very dependent on touchdowns last year. Like we say, he's 30 years old. He's never really been a great producer, excluding last season, so I really think it was more of an outlier than a true indication of the rest of his career. Algier was very successful in college. I think he's going to take a lot more legitimate carries from Cordell Patterson, and with the change from Matt Ryan and Marcus Mariota, I think they're going to be more run-centric, which means Cordell Patterson's not going to get as much receptions as he saw with Matty Ice last season. And then for another sleeper, I'm seeing this guy valued at so low. I think I actually was running a dynasty draft with a couple of my friends. We drafted a bit early, and James Robinson went in the 16th round. Now I get it. Coming off an Achilles tear, not the best indication. But from a guy who's been a 1,000-yard rusher his past two seasons, at round 16, I feel like it's a gamble you just have to take. I know Travis Etienne is in the fold, but Doug Peterson loves running back by committees. I've heard he's progressed very well in his recovery, according to reports I've seen on Twitter from Jags beat reporters. So I really think if you can get him like 14th, 15th round, I think it's just a good value because of what he's shown in the past, even despite Travis Etienne now being in that team's lineup.
All right, and for mine, I'm going to put Jaylen Waddle. The dude is a baller, just flat out. He's going to be a top five receiver in his prime. I can firmly say that. He can make plays for you. He can do everything. He's a speed demon. And with the addition of Tyreek Hill, he's going to be the number two receiver. I foresee him dominating the number two corner, essentially. And it's going to be a mismatched nightmare because they have to guard Gesicki as well. And although Tua is very questionable, the thing is, Jalen could just catch the ball for a screen and take it 60 yards. He's dynamic.
Those are definitely some good choices to hear. I'll start with my, I guess, main sleeper or one of my sleepers. And Ryan, you kind of touched upon it a little bit, but I think you're talking about running backs with the first name Travis. I think Travis Etienne of the Jaguars is a potential sleeper this year, just because we've seen what him and Trevor Lawrence have done at the collegiate level. And I think, you know, the fact he's coming off the injury and he's not going to be the center focus of that running back tandem with James Robinson, like you mentioned, who's a very, very good running back. I mean, set the record in rush yards for an undrafted rookie running back. I mean, having Travis Etienne as a pass catcher, you know, obviously most leagues are PPR nowadays, so I think he's going to be a great option for that. You know, I think almost even like a Tevin Coleman, but maybe better, just because we know the high upside and skill that Etienne has. I think a couple of the Broncos wide receivers are also a bit of sleepers this year, like a Jerry Jeudy, just because you still have Russell Wilson, who I think, in my opinion, is going to have a little bit of a career resurgence. I don't think he's the quarterback he once was, but I still think he's going to put up respectable numbers. And I think, you know, really try to push for a playoff spot with the Broncos, which are, I think, the main reason why he went there. Some people that I think people are overvaluing for this year, sorry to say it, Matt. I think Tyreek Hill is due for a little bit of negative regression in his fantasy production, at least. I mean, going from Patrick Mahomes to Tua Tagovailoa, it's a major step down. I think it's going to take some time. But I have to agree that Jaylen Waddle, I think, is someone that's going to be slept on a little bit just because I think all the attention in the world is going to go towards Tyreek Hill. And Tua is that type of quarterback we've seen so far. Loves the check down, loves the slants, loves the short out routes and short, you know, passing gains. I think Jalen Waddle we've seen has the explosiveness, just like Tyreek Hill, but I don't think the defense will be concentrated as much on him as it is on Tyreek Hill. So now my last question for you guys before we wrap up this episode of Icing the Ticker is, who do you think should be picked number one in all fantasy football drafts this August and this September, right, leading up till the first game of the season? So, Matt, we'll start with you. Give me your choice. If you had number one pick in your league, who would you take number one?
Jonathan Taylor, not even a question. The dude had 20 total touchdowns last year. I'm just going to read these stats. 2,171 yards, and it was his second year as a pro. He's going into his third season next year, and he already put up those stats. Quentin Nelson's an excellent lineman. It's just going up from here.
I do think Jonathan Taylor is probably going to be most number one overall picks, and I probably would, too, just because he seems the safest. But I will throw out a stat that is concerning for Jonathan Taylor buyers. No running back has ever finished as RB1 in back-to-back seasons since, I believe, 2007. Jonathan Taylor was obviously the number one running back in fantasy last year, and he could be someone to break the trend. He's a very talented running back, but, you know, obviously he's had a lot of wear and tear from the professional level and the college level. Could be up for injury. We haven't seen any signs, but just throwing it out there because it has happened to running backs in the past, a la Saquon Barkley. But I would think Jonathan Taylor's just the safest choice. I mean, the upside he has, especially in a run-heavy offense like the Indianapolis Colts, but I wouldn't be shocked if he even finishes as running back 3, 4, 5 or even lower, just based on maybe, you know, Matt Ryan being involved more in the passing offense or simply due to injuries. But he's the safest option, but I don't think he's as much of a lock as many people expect and believe.
Then Ryan, I'm curious, who would you take number one then if it's not him?
I mean, there's a lot of options you could go for. Najee Harris, obviously he's going to get the volume to be up there. If you want someone with more pass catching upside, someone like a DeAndre Swift or an Austin Eckler is definitely up there. But Jonathan Taylor is the safest, but if he were not to finish outside of RB1, which could potentially happen, it'd probably be one of those three guys.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely interesting. I didn't know that stat that Jonathan Taylor, you know, having back-to-back RB1 seasons is so rare and hasn't happened in 15 years. I think outside of him, I think when we look back at this upcoming season, you know, a year from now of who's going to be that in that spot, I think outside of Jonathan Taylor, I mean, you're going to have someone like Christian McCaffrey, who obviously has been Mr. Glass the last couple of years, but I think he's even someone who could bounce back in a huge way. Maybe not put up the exact numbers Taylor might have, but I think, you know, he still has that talent, and it's going to be interesting to see what he does with Carolina this year with that whole quarterback system, especially if Baker Mayfield is the quarterback. You know, we saw what Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt did while they were all in Cleveland together, so that'll be interesting to see. Even a player like Dalvin Cook, I know, Ryan, your favorite, Cooper Kupp, you know, obviously some people are going to be taking him number one overall just because of the name value, what he did last season, all those historic records. I do not think in any way he will have that exact amount of production he had his last season, but I can see people going for that route if, you know, for some reason, like you mentioned, maybe Jonathan Taylor, they want a receiver instead of a running back. Maybe it's non-PPR or something like that, because Cooper Kupp obviously could still put up over 100 yards a game in that offense. But just real quick before we wrap things up, I just want to hear your guys' final thoughts just about this season as a whole. I think compared to previous years, I think we can all somewhat agree that I think the talent in terms of young talent in this league, I think is at an all-time high, and just want to hear what you think it's like for fantasy purposes. I mean, are you going to be drafting more younger guys this year compared to older veterans like we've seen in previous years? Are you going to take a Lamar Jackson over someone like Aaron Rodgers who, you know, could have another monster year, but because he's younger, Lamar Jackson dynamic could be another, you know, bounce back year? I just want to hear your guys' thought process before we wrap things up. Ryan, we'll start with you.
I mean, it all depends on what kind of league you're in. It depends on a league-by-league basis. If you're in a league with keepers, you want to go with younger guys to retain them longer. I've been in two QB leagues. I actually joined a league this year. Extra points are given specifically to tight ends to give them more positional value, so that's something to watch out for. I think it's like 1.5 point modifiers for tight ends. But, you know, obviously, I always like going – I'm always a big advocate of the double running back first two rounds, locking up that position, and then trying to get a receiver on the back end of a third round. But I've seen plenty of successful strategies where people don't do it. It's what works for you. You just have to stick to your strategy. And you know, I think best available is always better, in my opinion, than fit because, you know, I think the fit will eventually come together just through how many rounds you have in a draft. But I always like going for running back first round, but I've seen people having success with the other way. So really just depends on the league. But if you have a strategy, just stick to it.
Yeah, and for me, I'm kind of the same in the sense that I like to go with the running back first. But if there is somebody available like a Cooper Kupp, then maybe I have to take him depending on what spot I'm in. And to answer your question about the younger guys, I think this year the draft was very defensive heavy. I do agree that there's a ton of young talent in the league. But with the draft being so defensive heavy, I probably won't be taking too many rookies, at least not early. So, yeah.
We can only wait and see how these predictions will end up by the end of next season. But that will wrap up this week's edition of Icing the Ticker. Once again, thank you to Ryan Henry and Matt Sotobier for being on this week. You guys gave some excellent advice that I'm sure every fantasy owner will want to hear as they prep for their drafts in August and September. Once again, I was Jonathan Haidt. Be sure to stay tuned to all shows here on WSU Sports and all of our streaming platforms. But for now, have a great day.